Happy New Year. I've got some great news for you today. How about some good news? How about some great news? How about some news that could change your life? Not just for today, but for forever and ever and ever. I've got some great news, dear friends. We're going to be looking at Joshua this morning. So take your Bible, turn to the Old Testament, and start at Genesis, and thumb your way through and get to Joshua, the second chapter. And as you find that, I want you to stand. We're going to read one brief verse to begin. And I want you to see some great news here. It's not just great news for some folks in the Old Testament. It is great news for us today. In Joshua chapter 2, we're going to recap where they're at, but let's just start there with Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. Now, this is one of my favorite Bible jokes here. Who, besides Jesus, was born without a father and mother? Now, he had a mother, but father was God. Without an earthly father or mother. The answer is right here in Joshua chapter 2, verse 1. It says, now Joshua, the son of Nun. And you can go ahead and say it, Pastor, stick to your day job. Don't try to be a comedian. But I love that because, you see, it makes people stop and think. Joshua, the son of Nun, sent out two men from Acacia Grove, to spy secretly, saying, go view the land, especially Jericho. So he sent them into Canaan. They were at the Jordan River. We're going to talk about that in just a moment. They were at the Jordan River, and it says that he sent them out into Canaan, and especially to where? Jericho. Now, anybody remember a song about Jericho? Joshua. And we say the word fit the battle of Jericho. Then it says they were sent out to the view of the land, especially Jericho. So they went and came to the house of a harlot named Rahab and lodged there. Lots of questions about that passage. Lots of questions. We're going to come to it. But we're introduced here to a woman who is at best a disreputable character, and the spies of God's nation take lodging there. There's a lot to be said about this woman. Now, I'm going to go back in, and what was the name of the woman whose place they stayed? Rahab. If that's not a name you're familiar with, you need to get familiar with it, because God did much in the life and in the heart of Rahab. Would you pray with me? Father, would you show us that it's not about me? Would you show us that it's not about us? Father, you're not interested in our abilities. You are interested in our availability. God, you want us to seek you with all of our heart. It's not about us becoming a hero because of what we can do, but it's about us becoming obedient so that you can do what you want to do. God, in the life of this woman we read about, Rahab, there were miraculous things done beginning in her life. Show us, Lord, that we don't have to be heroes to be loved. We don't have to be heroes to accomplish what you want. God, we just need to be obedient. Father, we need a reminder of that. And so here we are in your word. Show us, Lord, the incredible and magnificent and truly awesome things you do to those who will yield to God the Father. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you be seated? We're introduced here again to a disreputable character, and we know she is because, first of all, she's an enemy to God. Now, why do we say that? Is anyone an enemy to God? Anyone who rejects God is an enemy of God. If you reject God, you're an enemy of God. The Scripture says that she's an enemy to God and to the people of God. She's one of many of the unbelievers that have stood in opposition to God and have rejected God for hundreds of years. We're going to talk about that and just see how that comes about. She is one of the many that are going to have to be removed from Canaan land in order for Israel to possess it. Secondly, she's certainly disreputable even among her people because the Scripture says that she is a prostitute. Her name is Rahab, and we've talked about already some pretty sensational stuff. I mean, when it comes to it, her title, what they call her, the men staying there. But I'm going to tell you, what we talked about is already is not the most remarkable thing about this lady named Rahab. Rahab is listed in the New Testament too, not just in the Old Testament. She's listed in the New Testament. And her name is not only recorded a couple of times in the New Testament, she is recorded among what we call the heroes of the faith in Hebrews chapter 11, verse 31. It says this, "By faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace." Now, I'm going to take a couple of excursions today because I'm going to get back to Rahab in depth next Sunday. Today, I want to talk about the circumstances that surround her and the things that God did with her. First of all, as we talk about her listing in what we call the heroes of faith, perhaps we need to view Hebrews chapter 11 not only as a record of heroes, and maybe even not as a record of heroes, but of those with incredible faith. Now, if we want to call that being a hero, so be it. But it seems that if we put the emphasis on the word hero for people, we're putting an emphasis on their humanity. We're putting an emphasis on their ability. When folks, the reason that they are listed in the halls of faith is not because they were heroes, but because they were faithful. You understand the difference? Can you have faith without being what most people might consider a hero? I want you to know this, that if you can have the faith, God's word says, of a mustard seed, you can say unto the mountain, "Be moved," and it'll be cast from there and put into the sea. That's God's word. Heroes of faith. Friends, faith is what we're talking about above all things. And I think we strongly need to put the emphasis there on faith, because these men and women are recorded to illustrate what faith can do through the ages, what faith can do in the circumstances of their life. All these people, we'll go back and preach on Hebrews chapter 11 sometime and look at that list of people that are called heroes of faith. Now, why is it so important that we emphasize the faith portion of that rather than the hero portion of that? Because very few of us are what we consider heroes. Amen? A lot of us think, well, I'm just plain. I'm just ordinary. I'm just a normal guy. I'm just a normal girl. We're just plain old people. But folks, according to God's word, faith in God can do anything. Because it's not us doing it, it's God. It's not so much that we have great ability, but that we put what little we have into the hands of God to be used. Somebody's coined it years ago. They said, little is much when God is in it. Faith in God can do the same thing for us. It can do anything. Now, there's another startling fact about this woman, Rahab, and she's listed not only in Hebrews, but she's listed in the very first book of the Bible in Matthew. And she's listed in the genealogy of Jesus Christ. Now, wait a minute. I'm going to go back. I don't want this to be awkward, but I do want it to be understood. The Scripture says that they stayed in the house of a harlot named Rahab. This woman was a prostitute. She was of ill repute in her own land, certainly in ill repute before God's people. And yet you do not read five verses into the Bible, into the New Testament, before you come across this woman's name. How in the world, let me ask you, how in the world does such a messy person get into the genealogy of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ? Have you ever felt like you'd failed? Have you ever felt like you were on the lowest rung? Have you ever felt like everybody else is above me? Everybody does it better. Everybody does it smarter. And yet the scripture reminds us that even when you're an enemy to the people of God, even when you are an enemy to your own people, or at least of ill repute among your own people, there is still an opportunity for faith in your life. And that's where I want us to start here, if you will. How did such a messy person get chosen to be in the genealogy of Christ? Well, let me tell you, and it's the shortest part of my sermon, and all the people said amen. Are you ready? She got there by faith. Faith. Now, let's just recap the historical account that brought her to be listed with the heroes of faith. A very unlikely person to be listed with the heroes of faith. In Joshua chapter 1, if you go back and read that, you'll notice that Moses had died. And who took his place? Who took the leadership place? Joshua. And time and again, the Lord says to Joshua, be strong and of good courage. Be strong and of good courage. He knew that Joshua needed a lot of encouragement. Be strong and of good courage. Now, Joshua led the people. He said, you take them to Canaan land, and you go to the Jordan River, and you stop there. Well, he went to the Jordan River, and they stopped. Now, all of Israel was camped on that side of the Jordan River. Everybody was there. Nobody had crossed the Jordan River at this point yet. Joshua then sent two spies into Canaan, specifically into Jericho. And the scripture says he sent two spies into Canaan, and they were to be looking for the best way in there. Now, if you remember, 40 years earlier, another set of spies were in this exact same place. Israel was there, and Moses then sent in 12 spies, according to God's word. Do you remember? And among those 12 were men named Caleb and Joshua. Do you remember? They were the only two who brought back a favorable report. They're the only two left there now. So Joshua sends these two spies in, and they're not going in to find out, well, are we going in? They're not going in to give a report of the land. They're going in now to find the best approach for them to go in to take the land. Totally different time, totally different reason for them going in. So that's where we are. I want you to stand one more time. Would you stand with me? We're going to read God's word again, and we're going to pick up there in Joshua chapter 2, beginning with verse 2. I'm going to read through verse 7. And it was told the king of Jericho. Now remember, these guys came in. They were staying in Rahab's home. And it was told the king of Jericho, saying, behold, men have come here tonight from the children of Israel to search out the country. So the king of Jericho sent to Rahab, saying, bring out the men who have come to you, who have entered your house, for they have come to search out all the country. Then the woman took the two men and hid them. So she said, yes, the men came to me, but I did not know where they were from. And it happened as the gate was being shut when it was dark that the men went out. Where the men went, I do not know. Pursue them quickly, for you may overtake them. But she had brought them up to the roof and had hidden them with stalks of flax, which she had laid in order on the roof. Then the men pursued them by the road to the Jordan, to the fords. And as soon as those who pursued them had gone out, They shut the gate. You may be seated. Thank you for that honor for the Lord's word there. Rahab told her king an outright lie. Did you notice that? An outright lie to protect the lives of two spies in her land. Now, in doing so, she jeopardized her own life. Why would she do that? Why would this woman, an enemy of God's people, lie and put her own life in jeopardy to protect these two spies? Now, listen, she's certainly in a business where anything goes. Her ethics are already in question. But why did she lie to her own people to protect the enemy? Here's a question for you. Is it possible to condone Rahab's actions? What about to her own countrymen? What about to her own king? Now, when you're on the side of the ones who are being protected, you're going, oh, yeah, it's okay. But what do you do with this? Scripture is very clear, is it not, that as children of God, we are to obey the authority that is over us? Yes or no? Yes. We are to obey the authority that is over us. Rahab did not do that. Now, first of all, I don't think that you can call her a child of God here. Amen. She is certainly in a lifestyle that is against God's word. And she is certainly with a people that have rejected God. So I don't think we can call her a child of God at this point. But there is a better understanding for us today about Rahab and what she did. Yes, it is without question that God's word tells us in right here, it says that we are to obey the authorities that God has put over us, and we are to be obedient, and we are to watch our everything from language, our actions, and our duties to be obedient to the state. And Christians, above all, should be obedient above all. But, and here's where we are going to change our alignment, when the laws of the state conflict with the direct, revealed will of God, we have no other choice except to obey God. I think there's a lot that needs to be said and done and taught and practiced in this today. Christians have no choice but to obey the command of God. You may recall that the city authorities stood before Peter and John in Acts chapter 4 because they had been preaching the word of God, and they beat them and they imprisoned them and they said, "You will not teach this word anymore. You will not teach of the Christ. You will not teach this gospel, if you will, anymore." But Peter and John told them in Acts chapter 4, verses 19 and 20, they said that they were, when they were told by the authorities to quit, they said, "We must listen to God and not to you." Friend, I'm going to tell you, there are times that you and I are going to have to take a stand. And we're going to have to take a stand against some places that we don't want to. And yet, according to God's word, if we do not stand for God, there will be nothing to stand for. You better be sure that what you do is according to God's word and what God's revealed will shows you. But if it is, then friends, we must be obedient to God. Now I want you to look here and see that Rahab has a change in her heart and her life. Look at verse 8 and 9. In verse 8 and 9, it says that they had gone out. She told this lie to her king. And she said there, "Now, before they lay down, she came up to them on the roof and said to them, I know that the Lord has given you the land, that the terror of you has fallen on us, and that all the inhabitants of the land are faint-hearted because of you." She gives insight to what the Canaanites saw, heard, and believed. Rahab believed that God was mighty, that he was mightier than anything that she had ever believed in. And she says, "We know that the Lord has given you the land, that you've been the terror of those who have been before you. And those in the land are faint-hearted because of you." Now look at verse 10. "For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea for you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were on the other side of the Jordan, Sihon and Og, whom you utterly destroyed." Now she's given insight here, and I want us to stop here and take another little detour because I think this is really important for us. I want you to notice this, what she said there in verse 8 and 9. She said, "We have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea." Who told them? Who told them about the Red Sea being parted and them going through on dry ground? Who told them? Listen, there were some witnesses somewhere. We know it was not the Israelites because they've been all together in a group, if you will, wandering through the desert. But 40 years earlier, somebody told the Canaanites about what happened. There were witnesses there somewhere. Maybe they escaped from some of the army. Maybe they escaped from those who were following the army to come out to watch what was going to happen when they caught the Israelites. "We have heard that the Lord dried up the waters of the Red Sea for you." How long ago was that from this account? 40 years. 37 to 40. Depends on how you count it there. But 40 years before they had come back now to the River Jordan. And the River Jordan is in the same place, same people on one side. Now God's people are back on the other. And God had given all of the land of Canaan and Jericho 40 years from the time that he had dried up the Red Sea for them. He had given them all this time to repent of their beliefs, to repent of the wrong way, and to trust in the true and living God, Jehovah. 40 years they had been hearing this, and they still rejected God. If 40 years wasn't enough, let's go back to Genesis chapter 15. You don't have to turn there right now, but go back and read Genesis chapter 15. Let me tell you what you're going to find there. You're going to find there that Abraham was led by God into a portion of country to live there, and Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived their life in this land, lived in this area, and they taught of God, they shared about God, they gave a testimony in the way they lived to all the people around them. Do you know what the name of the place that Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob lived, sharing their testimony of a faithful God? Canaan. Did you know that? Go back and read Genesis chapter 15 and following. Canaan. So if 40 years wasn't enough, Genesis 15 reminds us that God spoke through these fathers of the faith, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. So up to Rahab's day, they didn't have just 40 years. They had 40 plus another 400 and then some. Now, there are critics of the Bible today and have been for some time that say that the God of the Old Testament was a mean, vengeful, bullying God, that he just walked in and wiped the people out for his people to come into. Folks, that is just not true. How many times have you heard somebody say, "Well, you know, it's not until the New Testament that he becomes the God of love"? Just not true. God is the same today and always has been the same. Amen? God gave the people of Canaan 400 years to repent. from the testimony of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And if that wasn't long enough, God extended it by another 40 years so that as they heard about their escape from Egypt, as they heard about them coming across the Jordan, and that they were wiping out the people who had rejected God in front of them, they had yet another opportunity for 40 years to have repented and turned to God. God did not destroy a people who had not heard of him. He removed a people that had rejected him for well over 400 years. In the New Testament, God did not change. He still makes things very clear, dear friend. Those who reject Jesus Christ are going to go to a sinner's hell. And I know that's not fun, but it's the truth. When God's judgment falls, there are going to be some who say, oh, well, God should have given us more time. God should have given us a little more opportunity. Why didn't he send one more person? I'm going to tell you, God's word tells us that God is slow to anger, that God is patient, that God is merciful. And for some 2,000 plus years, we've had the message of Jesus Christ. God has given us ample time and ample opportunity to turn to him, friend. And if we do not, our rejection of him puts us in the same place that those who rejected him in Jericho and Canaan. Now, look at verse 11 with me again. Verse 11. Rahab said, "We have heard that you did this." Verse 11 then says, "And as soon as we heard these things, our hearts melted. Neither did there remain any more courage in anyone because of you. For the Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and on earth beneath." Well, wait a minute. Who said this? Who's speaking here? Rahab the harlot. Rahab, the one who was an enemy of the people of God. Rahab, who was an ill repute of her own people. She said, "The Lord your God, he is God in heaven above and in the earth below." Rahab said, "We heard it." Rahab said, "We believed it. We not only hear it, we believe it." They believed. They knew that it was true, that God was the only one and true and living God. And yet they still did not turn to Jehovah, the one true God. Now, there are a lot of people today that are in the exact same boat, friends. They know the story. They know of God. They know that he's a historical fact. They know of Jesus. They know that he is a historical fact. And some of them even believe that God truly is the one true God and that his son Jesus Christ is Savior of the world, that he gave his life. They believe that Jesus Christ died, was buried, was rose again, but they are still not saved. They are still not a child of God. What is it that saves you? What is it that saves you? I could call on a couple of my baptismal candidates this morning, because we talked about that, to ask them, does baptism save you? No. Does church membership save you? No. Does being a good person save you? No. What saves you? Trusting in the Lord God. Believe in your heart that Jesus is God's son, that he died on the cross, that he rose from the dead, and that he's gone to prepare a place for you, and then to personally put your faith and trust in him. Trusting him as your personal Savior is having a personal relationship with Jesus, not just believing with your head. I'm going to tell you, that's the biggest space for so many people today. They can believe him here, but they don't believe him here. You must have a personal trust and faith in Jesus Christ. Rahab heard and believed, And she acted on it. Look at verse 12. Follow with me from verse 12. Now therefore, this is still Rahab, I beg you, swear to me by the Lord, since I have shown you kindness, that you will also show kindness to my father's house, and give me a true token, and spare my father, my mother, my brothers, my sisters, and all that they have, and deliver our lives from death. So the men answered her, our lives for yours. If none of you tell this business of ours, and it shall be when the Lord has given us the land, that we will deal kindly and truly with you. Then she let them down by a rope through the window, for her house was on the city wall, and she dwelt on the wall. Rahab not only heard, she heard the stories. She not only believed, she says, we believe. But then she acted. Folks, you know what that's called? That's called faith. Scripture tells us that those who are listed in the hall of fame for faith, if you will, that it was accounted unto them as righteousness for their salvation because of their faith in God. Her reason for putting her life in jeopardy to protect the spies was faith. She heard, she believed, she acted. Folks, that is salvation. That's faith to salvation. When you hear the good news of what Jesus has done for you, you've got to act on that belief and personally trust Christ for yourself. So this woman, an enemy of God's people, this woman, a harlot, this woman, one that had rejected Christ all of her previous life, and her people rejected Christ, rejected God all their lives, trusted that God's people would have the inheritance that he promised them. They were going to receive it. And she turned to that one true and living God. Hebrews 11:31 says, by faith, the harlot Rahab did not perish with those who did not believe when she had received the spies with peace. Now, all of this comes down to this point. You've just heard how the enemy of God, a prostitute, became a hero of faith. There's a book I've been looking at called Messy People. I think our ladies did a Bible study on that a few years ago. Do y'all remember that? Jennifer Cowart, called Messy People. How God can redeem and loves and cares for messy people. Did you know this? Well, let me just ask you first. Are you one of those messy people? Are you a messy people? If you're alive, hello, let me just tell you something. I don't care how nicely you're dressed this morning. You're a messy people. We're all messy people before God. Because you see, before God, we're messed up. We're sinful. We have sin in our life that stains us. But what I love is this. God sees messy people. God redeems messy people. God chooses messy people. And God uses messy people. Obviously. Friend, this is a truth for anybody, and this is a truth for everybody. Do you realize that if the king of Jericho, the king of Jericho City, if he had turned to God, if he had turned to Rahab and said, Rahab, why have you done this? Why did you do this? She said, because I heard and I believed and I don't want to go down with the ship. If he had listened, do you realize that if he had turned to the one true and living God, the king of Jericho would have been saved? If anybody in that city had turned to the one true and living God, anyone and everyone in that city would have been saved. Don't make the mistake that the Canaanites made, that those of Jericho made. When they saw the hand of God, they saw what he did. They heard what he did. They believed in his power, and it says that their hearts melted. They believed so much. They believed that the God of the Israelites was the true and living God, and yet they refused to trust him. And they perished. They didn't just die. They perished. When's the last time you saw God moving in your life? And when you did you join him? Did you join God? Here's my challenge for you. We've got a brand new year. I don't want you to turn over a new leaf. I don't want you to make some new resolutions. What I'm going to challenge you to do is to listen to God and be obedient in the moment. That moment. Don't go back to last week. Don't go back to last year. Don't go back to 10 or 20 or 30 or more years ago to look at your failures, because that's what Satan's going to want you to do. He's going to want you to go back and look at all the times that you didn't keep those resolutions, that you didn't keep those commitments, that you weren't obedient. But what I'm going to ask you is this. Can you not take the testimony and the example of one who was an enemy of God and do what God calls you to do in the moment? It is more important that you are faithful now than any other failure in your past. God wants to use you. You know why? Because he sees you. He loves you. He'll redeem you. And he will use you. God works in the lives of messy people. Because you see, that's the only kind we've got. Maybe I need to put a big sign or a big news posting on our sign out on 1488. Only messy people allowed. Because that's all there is. Now, there are some who are trusting more than others, but I'm going to tell you, we all come from the same cloth. We're messy people. God loves you. Right where you are. He doesn't want us to stay there. He wants you to come to him. Don't miss God's moving in your life. Remember Jericho. You want the old stubborn walls of sin and doubt and difficulty to be dropped in your life, to crumble? You march with God. Amen. Would you pray with me? Father, we are so thankful for your love, for your care. Thank you, Lord, that you love messy people. We know you don't want us to stay there, but God, thank you that you redeem messy people. Thank you, God, that you use and choose messy people. God, this morning, would you help us to be listening for your voice, to look for what you would have us to do. And Lord, would you give us the courage, be strong, to be faithful, and of good courage, to be obedient in that moment. What does God want to do in your heart and in your life? If you will but pray and say, God, forgive me of my sin, and you mean it, to turn to the Lord, man, that wall of sin will come crashing down like the walls of Jericho did. And he will forgive you. If you will confess your sin, God is faithful and just to forgive you of your sin and to cleanse you from all unrighteousness.